Welcome, everyone, to the Your Energy First podcast. I'm your host, Emily Marie, and it is such a pleasure to have you here today to co-create with you in this space and to talk about all things your energy. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to introduce to you today someone who's near and dear to my heart. And Kate came to me. She's an intuitive practitioner with this idea to come onto the podcast because she said, if I have these questions, other people do. And all of us are so curious about energy. I was talking to somebody else about this the other day, how we're not necessarily interested in watching mainstream news and media. We want to watch this cool stuff that's going on behind the scenes in this world, you know, around the Egyptian pyramids and why do our chakras do what they do and what does the planetary cycles mean over here? We're interested in those things. So Kate is a practitioner and her website is lightatheart.co. And welcome to the program. The program.
Thank you.
It's 1982. Yeah. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So why don't you get started with kind of where the idea came from to ask these questions in the first place?
Well, I've been working with you for a while now and developing my own intuitive skill set. Mediumship is something that is newer to me. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing energy work for myself and my family members for a while now, mm-hmm. and I'm just kind of beginning my journey into mediumship. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of questions around that. I have questions around dark energies, around mm-hmm. black beings, mm-hmm. And I want your take on it. I want to learn more about those things and hopefully enlighten some others as well.
Awesome. And also, to clarify, part of what I know you're asking too is I'm going to lean into my light and ask spirit team, spirit guides, a lot of the questions I don't have answers to, which is most of them. I always say if it's like my opinion or my experience versus theirs. And I know I'm going to be learning some things too, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, should I dive into
rock and roll?
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to randomly choose because I've got a bunch here. But since I mentioned mediumship, I'll just go with that one first.
Sure.
Or with those because there's more than one. Mm-hmm. But so how do you help a soul cross over? That's a really big question to start with.
Yeah, totally. So when it's so interesting because it depends on the situation where you are, it depends on the situation you're in that you have to first realize the soul is stuck. So one of the biggest things around, I'm going to call energy work, you know, energy work is mediumship, animal communication, pet communication, psychic, tapping in, holding space, remote viewing, all of those things, you know, all of those things are energy. We just put human names to them. So when it comes to a soul who is stuck, the first thing that happens is when you are holding energetic space, so you're leaned back in your light and you're setting the intention for the best experience, you know, there's a lot involved with holding energetic space, but you've got the intention that whatever it is you're experiencing is for the highest and best. So you may find like what we would know as a ghost, but a soul who hasn't crossed over yet. That's what a ghost typically is. I also have found in mainstream media, we label so many things as ghosts because we don't have terms for what all is on the other side of the veil. And that's fine. I always say lean back into your inner light and just ask what it is. What can I know about this for the highest and best? And that's how you stay in integrity. You don't get burned. You also receive so much more information. So sometimes a soul will be attached to somebody in a session. That actually happened to me in one of my first ever Reiki sessions that was in person. All of this wonderful woman was down on the, you know, I didn't know who she was. She found me locally. We have our session. And I open up the session and her guides had me start at her feet, which normally in Reiki, the way I was taught, you start at their head, but I started at their feet and, or you don't have to, you can start kind of like in the middle, doesn't matter, at her feet. And all of a sudden this guy, old, I mean, we're talking like ancient, they looked like a, I'm going to use this term. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but they look like a hobo. They look like a permanent homeless traveler. And he's standing there looking at me, and then he looks down at the client, and I'm like, my butt's clenched. And I'm like, what do I do here? And I go, so I say to the person, so I'm listening to my guides, which I didn't know I could connect to my guides through my light, right? And I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? That was my reaction. Okay. So now when I cross someone over, thankfully, it's a much more evolved experience, but that was the panic that ensued. And when you go to your light, when you go to your guides for guidance in these situations, what they had me do is they had me ask her a question, and it was something along the lines of, do you feel comfortable? Or I said, have you felt like you've had another presence around you, or like kind of like you're never alone, or any loved ones who have crossed over that are kind of being close to you? And she goes, no. And I said, okay. And that for me at the time was how I knew that this was not someone that was supposed to be there. Now, the version of me today would simply go to my light and I would just do a quick check-in and it would be a yes, no. And so what happens is you're now holding space for the client or the house or the group or whatever. I say the house just because when you clear spaces, there's a lot of crossing over. And you lean back and you hold energetic space, and you set the intention that you call in the support to the guides are kind of interrupting me, to support bringing this soul to the light. Now, there are many, many ways you can do this. And if you don't go to your light first to make sure, because when you go to your light first, what's happening is you're connected to the divine. You're receiving divine protection, your energy is stable. Then what happens is you're holding space for this individual to cross over, and who knows what comes through to help this individual cross over, or this soul. It could be a ghost, it could be a freaking, weird ionic monkey from another life realm, like I don't know. But either way, you're helping it go to where it needs to go to. And so when you hold energetic space, what's happening is you're not saying, I know what's needed here. You're allowing the process to evolve. The other thing I'll find is that half the time, I'm asking the guides right now how often this is, like half the time, 75. Wow, they're saying, wow, I was not expecting that. More often than not, where there's one, there's many. So when souls bind together, for souls, energies, when they bind together, when they're in our realm and they're not supposed to be, that's what a ghost is, or another energy, and they bind together, that's when they create interference in our human realm.
Oh, interesting.
So they do that by combining their own energies, aggression, anger. They can, some people say that they can take from your energy to help produce that to happen in our realm. And sometimes when you're crossing someone over, you never want to force it. Like it's rare, but every once in a while, I'll come across a soul that's like, nope, I'm not going to be crossed over. And depending on the circumstances, that's fine. Other times a soul doesn't want to cross over, and I'm like, I understand, but you're in someone's home and this isn't the best place for you anymore. So when you call in the light to cross them over, specialists come in and take them to wherever they need to go. Now, do I, trace them and follow them and, oh, where'd you go? And did you cross over? It's none of my business. Do I think it's for their highest and best that they cross over? Yeah, duh, but that's not my business. They may not do that. You've got to lean back and say, okay, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So, and souls come through in a myriad of ways. I was doing a co-house clearing with a friend a long time ago, and I was in the kitchen, I believe, kitchen living area, and this beautiful soul that was had been on the land long before we had came forward and was heartbroken and said that I have hundreds of family members here. Well, we wouldn't call them family members, but 50 to 100 plus souls that were ready to go. And what happened is, you know, keep in mind, the reason we become energetically available in our mind, meaning the reason we do energy work, the reason that we become activated and aware of consciousness as a human, is to support ourselves so we can support one another. So we're anchors to each other. We are activators for each other. And so in this moment, my job was to hold my light, to be an anchor, to open up space. I wouldn't call it opening up a portal, although some people will. I don't believe in opening up portals. I think the light works more intricately and better than that. But I held space for their loved ones on the other side to come forward and to help en masse so many individuals. It was mind-blowing. It was unbelievable. It was, on the one hand, heartbreaking, and at the same time, heart-mending, that so many souls were crossing over with their loved ones in that moment. And the most crazy effed up thing is, this was on the stairwell. You know, keep in mind, the spirit realm they don't have the same literal physical experiences that we have. They were coming from, there was big open space in this house. They had a really big yard, and the yard went up into a field. And so it was like these souls were coming in droves, oh, in wow. mass to cross over. And what I did is I went to my heart space, and I honored that everybody was going through this crossing over time. And I didn't ask questions. I didn't get into why. I was so honored and felt so moved that I even got the chance or the opportunity to be of this kind of support in any way. Mm-hmm. I've actually never told that story. So you just never know, you know, that's the beauty of holding energetic space. You just never know what's going to happen. And spirit says, okay, you know, you're a conduit holding your light in your heart. And this is what's going to come through this time. I could never have planned for that in 1 million years. There's it's not even in my wheelhouse. You know, I was worried about, ooh, what's in the den, you know?
That's incredible.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So essentially, just like with everything else, light and source is doing the heavy lifting, and you lean back. I mean, I should have known that from all of our work together, but that makes total sense.
It's such a practice. I mean, the foundation of it all is the connecting to your light intentionally and connecting to source. Mm-hmm. And, you know, source does the heavy lifting. Yes. And then you, as you know, and as you do yourself, as you, the practitioner, you also have a job to, you know, kind of figure out your own personal, what's my code of conduct? What, you know, what is my energy language? You know, you learn that by practicing, nothing else. There's nothing, no book can teach any one person their energy language, period. It doesn't exist. We're all so different. It's also about when you're in the moment, what do you feel called in your heart to do? And then do you do that?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Because of course we're humans. We're operating from our heads so much that we're just in think mode. Well, what should I do? What's the best thing to do?
Right.
Instead of what's my heart, my light telling me, guiding me to do. And when I say what's your light telling you what to do, you know, your light is you. You are your light. It's your higher self. I'm not saying, you know, be at the mercy of your light. You know, use it as an asset and a resource for you and for others.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was a really profound answer. So my next question seems really
it's all good.
I love that. I'll try to answer a different question. But I just have to know, because I've always wondered. I can't believe I'm really going to ask this, but can spirits and ghosts see us at our most vulnerable? I guess probably not spirits and souls who have crossed over, because They would be of the light, and things that are of the light, you know, are non-intrusive. But ghosts, things that are not meant to be there, you know, do they see us naked? Do they see us, you know, when we're in
Yeah.
it? The answer
Boning.
is yeah.
Yeah, like doing all the things. Thinking
Yeah.
those naughty thoughts alone. Yeah, and they don't care. So, you know, this is something I've been contemplating with my guides even recently. It's like, you know, the human condition is such a challenge in comparison to the other side. The other side, you know, it is all love. And then it's like we come to Earth to be tormented. And then what? Remember that there's love on the other side? So what the, you know, and I'm glad that you're asking questions about the dark too, because the fact of the matter is anyone will be a better practitioner the more you are educated on what exists. And that
Yeah.
doesn't mean, you know, to know the names and whatevers of all the things, because again, naming is a human convention, it's not an energy thing. But this is about when you know your energy. You know, we talk about your energy first, because when you know your energy, then that's what's going to tell you when something is off, when something's great. That's what helps you navigate these circumstances. And, you know, the way we want to think about the dark, you know, because movies teach us, you know, oh, you're at the mercy of that thing and you're screwed and it's going to mess with you and try to kill you and all these things, right? This stuff is around us all the time and we're doing okay. We're doing really
Yeah.
well. So we have a lot of innate protection in us, and I'm talking about from an energetic perspective. When it comes to, and you know, I always use this example too. When you travel, you are like, oh, is it safe for me to travel there? What parts should I avoid? Like, we want to be smart too. The dark is the most self-serving, unloving, vacant, void. Also manipulative, also smart. Now, I'm making a blanket statement because we will never know all the different energies that are that are negative. The other thing in the book, I talk about the difference between dark and light versus negative and positive energies. But some dark energies are actually of the light. They need to be dark because of the work that they do. So what we're talking about is negative energies. And actually, I've seen light energies, or they try to be light energies, actually are negative. I'm gonna go on a quick tangent here, but I was driving one day, this was a couple of years ago, and literally it was as if I got an energetic tap on my shoulder, and it was this group of I can't even say it because it's not true, but they called themselves light beings, and they said, "We have some information for you." And they said, I forget exactly what their words were, but it was something along the lines of, "This information is just for you." And I was like, I was like, I don't think so. I was like, back off, first of all, because nothing has ever come to me and said, this energy is just for you. They said it with a tone of as if we have some divine messages that, you know, only you can deliver, or, you know, special information. And so I went back to my light and I cleared it up and I set the intention, I only connect with my light, my spirit team, and my guides for the highest and best. And it went away. And it has to, because by universal law, the light is unwavering. So if it was actually of the light, it would have stayed, but it also wouldn't have talked to me that way. My guides have never spoken to me that way, ever, ever, ever. All of our guides are much more chill, you know, kind of behind the scenes, supporting us. If we're meant to deliver a message, it's going to come through as yourself. You're going to have an aha, an insight, an inspiration to write something, to share something, to send something. And it's going to feel like you. It's just going to feel like you. Okay, so getting back to the dark. So negative energies are, you know how you see a human and you may think to yourself, oh, I know deep down they're a good person. They're a good person in there. When it comes to variations of negative energy, that doesn't exist. Those energies are vicious, will do exactly what they want, however they want. They don't care to whom or how. awful. I know there's some people right now who are thinking, I know somebody like that. No, this is the most devoid of light you've ever experienced. But again, the light is unwavering. The light always wins. The light rules all. So those energies don't hang on to, you know, it's such a Western culture, especially in America. You know, we've been so conditioned to cover our bodies, or don't cover your body or whatever. And, you know, the most, pardon my language, but asinine thing to me is like, is we've been taught that our bodies are supposed to be certain shapes. Now imagine if nature was all the same shape. All the trees and all the foliage and all the flowers, everything just took the same shape. Nobody looks at a flower and goes, oof, your leaves are a bit round.
Very true.
How dare you have those? You know, look at the color of your petals. Mm-mm-mm. So all of that's the human condition. And that's such an oversimplified way to say it. But so when it comes back to the dark, what if I were to say, you know, what do they look for? What can they prey on over time? And I'm saying really over time, is when someone makes harmful choices continuously. When someone makes harmful choices continuously and knows better.
So
go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, so what would have been the worst that would have happened had you listened to those energies in the car?
Ugh, gross.
Because you are not that type.
Love that you asked that question, and I've never even thought about that. You know, I think what would have, I can barely get the words out. Hang on a second. I'm asking my guides, I'm like, how would I best put this? You know, and I'm going to say something about asking your guides for support. You would, you know, you go to a restaurant so that a chef and a waiter and a dishwasher support you having a nourishing meal that night because you're tired. You know, there's so many different ways we get support. Look at your guides as support. I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying in general, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, I'm not outsourcing my power. I got stuck and I said, hey, how would you have me best explain this? I need to explain this because it's important, for one, and I want more people, this is me being selfish, I want more people working with their guides and spirit team for support to make life easier for them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go it alone. So when it comes to what would have happened, I feel like I would have, I can't even say it. It's like I would have gotten on a pedestal and said, hey, everybody, these special beings came to me and they have some really special information for some special people that, you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, the undertone would have been that, you know, we have information, you know, we know better. We have information other people aren't privy to. We're the light beings, we're the light workers, we're the chosen ones. And by the way, you know, I could say I'm a light worker because I work with the light, but I always tell people working with the light is a choice in every single moment. Mm-hmm. And they would have, you know, I could have, started a YouTube channel and started channeling them and mm-hmm. naming them, giving them naming conventions, saying that they're, you know, there's a better way. There's a better way. And it's less glamorous. It's less exciting. It's less definitive. When you work with the light, you're saying, I'm going to go on this journey to trust myself and my process and do it in a way that's simple, that looks out for everybody I engage with. And one of the universal laws of energy, which you know, is everybody has access to the exact same information. Right. So that's why you asked that question, is because you know all this information is universal. So mm-hmm. it either comes to you as yourself or an idea or an inspiration from someone else, because it's okay that we get inspired by other people. But I do think that there's good people out there who do name their spirit team and guides, who do channel them, which I don't choose to partake in. I don't believe in channeling anymore. And I think there's really good people who do it and use it for good. And then I think there's people who are so sad and unfulfilled in their life that is what the dark preys on.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, you want to feel important. You want to feel special. You want to feel like you can make something of yourself. You know, people get high from attention from other people in any setting. It could be a group of one, it could be a group of 10, it could be a group of 1,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, oh, I have access to special information over here. Let me tell you about it. And there's good and bad in everything. So,
yeah. And it is scary. I mean, you know, we've been working through that a lot together. I mean, for me. And I, as you know, have felt this responsibility to mama bear everyone in my life and protect them from these things that they don't even know about.
Right.
And so, you know, I just asked you what would be the worst that would happen to someone who practices in with the light and is very well versed in all of that. Well, what about people who don't know about their light, people who, I guess we kind of covered that, but what can someone like me do for their family or do for their loved ones? I know that it's not on my shoulders and that, you know, I can't have this responsibility. That's an ego to think that. And now my guides are telling me just live more in my light and share that. And I feel like that is going to be the answer, but is there something different? You know, what can I do to help protect my friends and family who I see day in and day out choose the dark without even realizing that they're choosing the dark?
Yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough. It's really tough. And when you know, this is part of the journey too. There's so many different levels of, I hate even to call them levels, but there's just so many different experiences of awareness we have. And I do think we go through the phase of grief where we're like, wow, okay, I realize I have this ability, this power, everybody does, you know, power meaning choice, meaning mm-hmm. access, you know, access to source, which everybody has, both of those things, and they don't know it yet. And life is hard, you know, life is hard. I don't think anybody gets through this life just like a freaking cakewalk. Maybe some people do. Call me. No, I'm just kidding. But I think that there's really something to be said for what will happen is you will continue on this path. You will continue to cultivate your light, cultivate warmth, cultivate that energy within you. That has a profound effect on everyone you interact with. You can pass by a stranger 3 feet away and you holding your light, not knowing them, not looking at them. Maybe you're on your phone, you're walking, so you don't even see them. You being in your light will have an impact on them. Mm-hmm. That's how much we all impact each other, whether or not you're in your light. This may be the first episode you ever listen to and you're like, what's this light thing she keeps talking about? But regardless, we all have that impact on each other. So just you by holding your light does. Now, getting to what I was about to say, when you are in your light and hold this light for yourself and you fill up your light, you fill up your container, you take care of your energy first. So your energy is vibrating, you're directly connected to source. Then you say from there, I set the intention for love and light and support for, and then you think about each and every one of those loved ones. You know, the power of prayer is insane. This is the same thing, just with a different label on it. So we always want to remember, and I know you know this because you practice it, but we have to be in our light and fill up our tanks first. And then we don't send the other person what we think they need, although that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to lean back. And I set the intention, I send them love and light and divine protection or whatever it is they need for the highest and best. I actually teach this in the Intuitives Toolkit too. Little plug there.
Yeah, I love the Intuitives Toolkit so far. It's been really great.
Thanks.
I've got a bunch of other people joining.
Oh, you're awesome.
Well, not me personally, but you know, I know of other people joining, so it's great.
That's awesome. It's going to be, we're going to do, yeah, it's going to be a fun community too. I haven't gotten to the community stuff yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question? I know, and I love how you commented, you know, this is the beautiful thing about us all being anchors for each other too. You ask a question for someone and, or excuse me, you ask a question to someone What am I English? You ask a question. You ask a question and you hear the answer from your guides because both of you are sitting in your light.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool.
That's kind of happening with a lot of these other questions too. I'm like, oh, I don't even really, but I'm going to ask them.
Ask away, ask them all. Everybody's thinking, whatever you're asking, we're all thinking it.
So sorry about the dog, if you can hear that.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay, so I have so many questions, but I think my next question that, so do all energies have intelligence and personalities? I mean, I know that there are neutral energies, there are positive energies, negative energies, and that it's a spectrum. But as far as having intelligence, having personalities, having opinions, having desires, are there any dumb energies? I mean, that's not a good question, but that's
for
kind of what
sure. There's really stupid energies. Thank God for that, right? Like, give us a break. No. Okay, it's funny that you asked this question because the other day I was thinking about, you know, there was a time in my life, I was a wee one, and I was like, what's the big deal with crystals? You know, it's so dumb. People like crystals and cats. Like, who are they? You should see my place. It's just
now
crystals.
Here we are.
Yeah, exactly. What else was I denying back then? So when what's surprised me about a lot of things, you know, homes have personalities. Homes, you know, there was a home clearing, space clearing I did, I wanted to say recently, it felt like maybe it was a couple of months ago, and the home didn't really have too much of a personality. It was just more of like the energy of a home. And I've also noticed with crystals, some of them have personalities, some of them have genders. Now, when I say, I shouldn't say gender, have more masculine or more feminine. You know, a gender is a human construct. On the other side of the veil, they don't have that same stuff. So a lot of energies do, yes, but not all energies do. You know, I'm thinking about how sometimes a lamp can project to have an energy, but it actually may have an energy attached to it. So, you know, a pillow doesn't have a personality. Does it have an energy and a vibration it gives off? It does. You know, think about when we've had a pillow for, you know, you go to your friend's cabin in the 80s or 90s and that pillow's been there for who knows how long, right?
That musty yellow stained pillow. Gross.
been there. No pillowcase cover either. We were roughing it. It was great. And I think about how, you know, obviously any of us, that pillow gives off a certain energy, a certain vibration, but does it have an intelligence? No. And I know you know that. So we'll dig into the question a bit more. Plants typically, yes. There's a lot of things that do, but it's not a blanket statement, yes or no. You know, sometimes a rock will have an energy, a personality, and then again, a lot of rocks don't. So it really depends. So if something is a man-made object, more often than not, what we can notice is more just the simple vibration it's giving off. The other thing that's crazy is with a lot of man-made objects, those physical objects can consume and absorb our human emotions. So like when I do a house clearing, we reset the vibration of the things in the home to support whoever's living there. Now, that doesn't mean everything gets a full reset. Some things are just fine, but that's why we hold energetic space for what needs to be done for the clearing, the transformation of the energy. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and then it also brings up the point that your house is never gonna be completely light. No space itself can ever be completely of the light, but there can be, or I guess this should be a different question. Are there points where, are there energetic spaces or people who even just for a moment can be completely of the light? Because we all have our shadows. We all have our dark. Does that question make sense?
Yeah. I'll touch on the first one, which was, yes. You know, the way that we can't see germs, but we know they're there, and we know some germs are more harmful than others, that's what the dark is like.
Yeah, that's a really good energy.
We have resources to clean up germs, but we don't clean up all of them, and not all of them are particularly harmful. We know to stay away from certain people or really germy areas if we have to. So kind of think of the dark like that. You're educated, you're in your power, and you have Lysol. You have the light.
It's your safety blanket.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, with house clearings, that's the other interesting thing is there's always something moving, outside, something someone brings in, could be anything. I mean, it's endless. House clearings are constant, and it's nice when you are emotionally tied to your home and your space. So it is nice to have somebody from the outside come in and support you.
Absolutely. Found that very recently.
Totally, totally. And then you continue to hold the vibration of your home, which is wonderful. So, and then what was the last question that you asked?
Just I think it was if anyone, we know that a space can never be completely of the light, but
Oh,
is
can
there a
anyone be
point
of the
where a
light?
person can be completely of the light? And if maybe not a person, can there be an energetic space that's completely of the light?
Oh, I was just asking the guides as you were reflecting, and they said, "Oh, definitely." They say when you go into your stillness point, the depths of your light, and you sit there, they go, "Yes, you're in complete light."
So even though you have your shadows, those are cast aside because the light, you're shedding light on them.
Let me see here.
Maybe when you come out of your light, they're still there, but in that stillness point, you're of
Well,
the light.
now I'm asking this question because when we cross over, our soul crosses over, the shadow parts of ourself that we haven't resolved do come with us.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, I guess I knew that.
Sure.
And
And
yeah.
now I'm thinking, well, say for example, you've got an archangel. An archangel is a badass, an archangel is really of the light. Now, Source is the ultimate light, so does that mean an archangel still has shadows? Interesting. So part of what they're saying, this is fascinating to me, they're saying that not all shadow is bad. Some shadow is perspective, some shadow is grit, some shadow drives purpose. So they're actually inviting us to look at shadow as not negative per se. They're saying it's part of the glory. That's funny. So naturally, a lot of shadow can be uncomfortable. And yet, they say as we heal, transmute these things, make them our power, make them our purpose, yes, they become more light. At their core, at their strength, they remain perspective. They say even to simplify it down to light and shadow is to oversimplify the whole thing. Now, is someone on earth fully of the light? No. The reason I know that for a fact, I checked with them before I asked or before I said anything, is because you wouldn't be able to, we're too dense down here. It's even if you're to hang out in the most breezy, incredible tropical place on our planet with all the nature bells and whistles, it would still be too dense for something that's so of the light.
So that's why angels can't like chill out on earth with us for very long.
No, but I like that you asked that because what really happens is an aspect of an angel is supporting you, is supporting me, is supporting the collective. And that's what we feel, that's what we sense into. And so sometimes they feel close to us and they feel there, but they're really on the other side of the veil supporting us at a distance as opposed to, and then the other confusing thing is we assume wings, angels, and wings are a beautiful representation of many different types of beings, some even negative beings. So, like wings is kind of like saying, What's a good analogy for that? They're not giving me one. But it's just kind of like saying it's like another, they don't want me to like dim it down, but at the same time, you know, as humans, we put things on pedestals so much. Wings are
Oh,
amazing,
yeah.
but
Yeah.
yeah, there. We'll leave
Sometimes
it
they
at
just
that.
are, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
Okay, I'm just kind of looking through these to see what would be the most relevant and what we haven't covered.
Ask any of them. It doesn't have to be relevant. We're talking about
We
energy
kind of
here.
talked, yeah, that's true. We talked a lot about the dark. One of my questions was going to be, how do we know if an energy is sinister versus mischievous? And I guess we go to our light and we ask that question, but either way, we want to clear it. So we can be curious and ask, or we can just get it the heck out, because we don't
Yeah.
want it.
Yeah, we would, you know, the thing that's another really great question. You'll know by the level of chill you get, feeling of whoa, like leaning away, like, whoa, I don't even want to look or be near that thing. You know, some negative energies just are a little annoying, a little uncomfortable. And then some, you're like, ooh, God, ooh, what is that? You get me out of, you know, get me out of here, keep away. So that'll let you know right away. That's your knowing. It's also your knowing and your sensing and your feeling. And you call in from your light, divine protection first from source. That's an inside out job. Again, divine protection is like the first video I put into Intuitive's toolkit. And I was like, thanks, guides. But they really want people to, you know, Spirit really wants us to feel safe, calm, and confident in our overall beingness. So when you understand, I think the protection thing is such a human fear that when you understand how that works, it's like, okay, I can live and I can explore energy work and know that I have choices and options and I don't have to dance with the dark. And if I do come across it, which I may from time to time, I have choice on how I handle it. So you call in divine protection and then you call in the light to do the heavy lifting, to do the movements, the removals, all of that. Don't specify what you call in. I see people make that choice a lot because you don't know what that thing is, only source does, and source knows what to bring in to clear it. Yeah.
Yeah, limiting otherwise.
Yeah, and also energy is a muscle, so you know, usually we start with clearing light things, clearing little blockages on ourselves, supporting other people. And then you get to the point where your energy muscle builds up and you ha the universe will present you with opportunities to clear bigger, badder, more denser energies. If you are called to that work, if you're not, that's fine. But and I don't no one's called to be a Ghostbuster or, you know, Batman. It's like you come across this work, and when people do light energy work, you're literally saying, okay, well, my vibration's expanding. I'm bringing in more light. Therefore, these older, more shadowy parts of me need to be healed and go or transmuted, whatever it looks like. So, but it's, you know, it's the nature of the beast. It's like, you know, we've all eaten in different types of restaurants that had different levels of cleanliness. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, doesn't matter if it's a negative energy or, you know, the other kind. We learn how to manage it.
So if we're using that same analogy, like a restaurant can't, clean itself up without some help. So can negative energies clear on their own, or would they ever decide to just, is it more about them deciding to leave that domain to go to a different one?
Oh. So what I have found with negative energies is they are very comfortable with where they're at. Wherever they're at, they kind of like claim their domain for whatever reason, right? And unless, I hate to make general statements because it's so unique. You know, think about what percentage of the ocean we understand. Think about what part of the galaxy we understand. I mean, we understand scoot, nothing.
Very minimal.
So, right. So when it comes to the dark, I always just want to be really, or any of this, honestly, any of these topics, I always want to be really mindful about any sort of blanket type statements because it's just impossible to make. I learn something new every day. For the experiences that humans would have with energies that are negative in our realm, typically, those energies need, in order for any of them to move, there needs to be something that moves them. Typically. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about, sure, will they move around a house or a land or, yeah, of course. You know, will they latch onto things and move? Yes. Will they go back to their own realm because they want to? Sure. Does that happen very often? No. You know, one of the weird things is that they, a lot of them will sometimes find it entertaining to be here, believe it or not. You know, I have, getting back on the portal, you know, portals can be created in so many different ways. And a lot of portals, people don't know what they're doing. They
ley lines, is that kind of what you're?
Ley lines.
Or is that different?
A little bit different.
Okay.
People will open up portals because they're opening up energy, opening up spaces, even though they're well-intentioned, they're doing it from the place of, let's see what I can do. I want to try this. Yeah. You know, and I always say too, our ego is our friend. I mean, it shows us where we're hurt. It shows us where we feel small. It shows us all those things. But opening up, if I ever open up a portal, I'll tell you guys, I'd be shocked. It would have to be, I cannot imagine a situation where I would have to do that. Now I'm sure next week something's going to happen. I'm going to have to do it. But the point is, the problem with a lot of portals is it opens up interdimensional traffic, and we don't need interdimensional traffic.
Right.
So
we get gremlins.
Yeah. God. I mean, you name it, you know, there's a house I was living in one time where I had a portal in my bedroom and I could, you know, I would sleep with the covers over my head because I would literally see these black things with like capes or drapes over them just swirling above my head. I mean, it was, I have crazy stories from that too. And yeah, you know, I'm sure there's good portals out there. I have yet to experience one that serves a very positive purpose for humans in our current form. But then, you know, what is a portal? That's a loose definition too. That's like saying pizza. Well, where's the pizza from? What part of the world? What's on it? What are the toppings? It's too general for me to say.
Okay. Very interesting. I have questions about that portal too, but I'll say those for a different time.
Sure.
Well, okay. So what, I mean, I guess you would have you ever asked why that portal was there? I mean, would that even serve you? Was it human? Like the person who came before you was trying to do some stuff? Can it be accidentally created?
It's interesting. They're saying it can't really be accidentally created. Humans, we don't know our power. We don't know our mind's power. We don't, we haven't quite recognized, you know, our emotions have power. Our emotions have triggers, the trigger of love, the trigger of, you know, fear, the trigger of all of those things. So what was your question? I was just thinking about now, I'm like, but these things, you know, we can rip roar a lot of things just with our own thoughts and emotions.
That is the scary part. And that's what I've kind of, you know, been working through with you.
For sure. And I mean, I'm doing my own work with it too. I swear it'll never be ending. And it is really exciting though, when you get to the other side of, okay, well, that's scarily empowering, then you realize, right. Well, wait a minute, I get to create from this space. Oh, I get to create with source. I get to create with the light. I get to experience all kinds of cool light beings. I mean, or positive beings, you know, positive beings galore. There's more positive beings than there are. Are there more positive beings than negative?
Please say yes.
Yeah, they did.
But that is, I mean, it is the other side of fear is empowerment, and it's so beautiful and incredible. And it's a really important journey.
Yeah.
The question I think originally was if you knew the source of that portal or if you ever
asked
why it was there.
You know, what's funny. When I first got started, you know, I was working in tech and I was doing energy work on the sly, and someone was doing physical in-person, strenuous, cumbersome house clearings. And I paid to join and learn as they went along. And I asked all of those questions. And they didn't teach anything about inner light or divine protection. They taught the bubble. And one of the things that was really interesting at that time, looking back, is I was living in such a modern world of everything has to have a definition. Everything is scientifically based. Everything has meaning. As all of us begin to just be more in flow, right? Just more in alignment where we're, I'm way in my head. I'm going to get back into my heart or get back into my light and just, you know, and we need both. We need our head and our heart. But when we find that balance, we do find our flow and really cool things get to happen. But until then, when we're really curious about all these things, yes, you can go to your inner light and say, what may I know about this for the highest and best? Mm-hmm. Also, when you begin to do this work more and more, you have a less interest knowing those details. Because what happens is the information will naturally come to you. You will be serving, supporting so many people outside of just your normal life, or maybe this is your work, that you will learn so many things that way. And you are too busy living in your own personal joy, health, fun, that it's almost like, oh, is there anything I need to know about that portal? Okay, great, moving on. It's almost like it's not as interesting anymore, especially when you realize that they're all so nuanced that you probably may never see another thing like it again. So why even bother?
Yeah, not much to learn from it.
Yeah.
So, okay, very interesting. We always do these like talks about the dark, you know, on the East Coast right before bedtime.
Of course, right?
Luckily, there's my light.
You know, bring in like drummers of the light, you know, vibrational, connect your light and ask for vibrational drummers of the light to come within your essence, your being, and just kind of drum up some of that light, fun, sprightly, happy energy to kind of clear it out and rebalance when you're.
Oh, I really love that.
Yeah.
That's never come to me. Not something I've thought of, but I really like that. I'll have to use that for sure.
Yeah. It's again, when we're in our light is when things like randomly like that come through. And then how do you feel? Oh, it feels good. Okay. I'm going to have them. And anybody can use that who just heard that, you know?
Okay. So that made me think of a different question. Is that okay?
Oh, right. Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of a bizarre question and I'm hoping that it'll all come together. But so it's about the energy of a thought or an idea. Okay. So sometimes I'll be doing something, you know how you can kind of feel the energy of a room and like the energy changes. So when you exit a room, you might lose the thought or you might lose, you know, whatever, because you're entering a new energy. So, you know, sometimes I'll be doing something in one room and have a thought and I'm like, oh, it's a great idea. I've got to do that. Then as soon as I leave that room, I forget it. Mm-hmm. So then I've got to retrace my steps physically, go back to that room. And sometimes I'll refine the idea. Mm-hmm. But what I have found recently is that I can visualize retracing my steps and I'm usually able to find the idea that way as though I just like accidentally like left the energy of that idea there and then picked it up and put it in my energetic pocket for later. Is that a thing? Like has that?
That's badass. I love that. I think that's great. Do you do it from your light?
Yeah.
Then all systems go. One of the things I used to do growing up, this is, you want to talk about weird. We would be in the car. Someone would be driving us to school, and I would pop out of my body and I would go, 10 feet, 20 yards to the right or to the left, whichever. And I would look back on all of us in the car. So everyone can, and please nobody do that. You can do it. Everybody can do it. It's part of what astral travel is. It's not smart. Leaving our body. So there's multiple ways to do it. I love that you did that. And you're doing it from your light. So you're staying in your energy center and you're activating that part of your experience. You're saying, I remember this part of experience. I'd like to, my intention is to call this memory back to me. Beautiful. Beautiful. But
But
then
if I were not in my light, would that be astral projection then, essentially? Because I've never thought of it that way.
yeah, it would be, I mean,
A form of.
it's funny because it's the activity's the same. Imagine you weren't in your light and you would physically leave your body and go find that memory, which is totally possible, by the way. People do it all the time. And so but what happens is it leaves your body uninhabited. It puts your energy out there, just out in the open. And with astral travel, anyone can safely astral travel from their light. You can also simply pop out of your body, have a string connecting you, go out into the ozone or beyond or whatever, and be flip-floating around. But again, you're fully exposed. And so then people say, well, but don't your guides and your spirit guides protect you and protect that? If you are using your free will outside of the rules, the laws of energy, the first time I ever astral traveled, people were talking about it in a class, and I was like, I want to try this thing. And I went home and I astral traveled, and it felt kind of, when I got back in my body, and this was all in your mind, right? Your eyes are closed, you're imagining this. And I just remember feeling my body felt a little bit uncomfortable. And I heard clear as day, don't ever do that again. It was like you had this one shot. So, this is where, one of the things I find so curious, Kate, about I look at my journey, I reflect on my journey, I see other folks. We all have choices. I am never the smartest person in the room, I am never more special than anybody else. So I'm like, why is it that I found this path this way, and other people choose to, whatever, talk about astral projection that puts people at risk? And it gets back to, I really believe at the end of the day, we all have choice on it. It's like the way we're human and have choice to be a good person or not a good person, it's the same with energy work. In any given moment, we have the choice to make the right option or the wrong. We do get a buffer. We do get to make mistakes. Also, I have no stones to throw because I have not been a perfect human and I have not been a perfect practitioner. So I'm not sitting here saying, ooh, I have done this right the whole time. Look at me, guys. That's the opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying, and it's not easy to continue to say, okay, what feels right? What feels right? Because it is the less glamorous thing. It is the thing that doesn't get as many clicks. It is the thing that, people can't always glom onto right away and say, yeah, that's really cool. People will look at you weird. So it's definite, we all have the option to listen to our gut and say, does this feel right to do or not? Whether you're a human or it's an energy experience, we all have the same choice.
And I don't know, it's a slippery, it can be a really slippery slope.
You're so spot on. It's one that I am continuing to learn. Yeah.
And I guess one of the dangers, like aside from those things, but one of the dangers that I have found, not I shouldn't say danger, but one thing that can be problematic with energy work is that energy can be easily misinterpreted. So aside from what we have already just discussed just now, what would you say one of the biggest dangers or downfalls of this work would be?
not trusting yourself. And I love how you said, you know, energy can be misinterpreted, but our feelings never lie. And as a society, we haven't, we've done everything we can to lead people away from trusting themselves. So it's a very brave act. You know, one of the things I teach is, I'm like, everyone wants to hear their intuitive guidance, but actually actioning it and believing it is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because all kinds of things come up and we think, oh, am I going to lose family, friends? You know, am I going to have to leave my partner? I mean, all these questions come up, and just from literally that one trigger can come through by someone saying, if I listen to this, I'll lose my job. I'll, people won't respect me. And the exact opposite is true. So the best things come from listening to your gut. The thing to know too about your gut and your feelings is when you say, because you know our gut comes through all the time. I say it's your gut, but really I'm just talking about your intuition, because not everybody's intuition comes through their gut. Some people's intuition comes through the top of their head or their forehead, you know, or tingles on their back, their throat, a side of their throat. It's everywhere. Listening to it's brave when you decide, I want to live more consciously, more aligned, more, I'm miserable. I don't know why I'm miserable, but I am, or I'm feeling called in this direction, or I want life to be even better. You know, maybe that's it. That's when you reach out to your intuition, when you go to your spirit guides, when you go to your higher self, you always, you have to go within your body first. Your body is your greatest protector. Your body is your greatest filter. Your body is wise. Your body is your energy. And so when we say, you know, we often wait for our intuition to come to us when we're first kind of figuring all this out, which is normal, so normal. And then we're saying, oh, I can reach out to it to support me throughout my day. Okay, let me do that. There's energy, good, bad, indifferent, swirling around us at any given moment. So that's why we want to go within and say, let me start here. Let me get comfortable doing that so that I can be activated and know I am in my own alignment with my own energy, and everything it is I receive is going to be of the light, of integrity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's been really, I don't know, it's been an incredible time practicing that more and more.
It's one of the best, you know what, actually, this gets back to your question, like, what does the portal mean? You will learn so many dang cool things of the light, of integrity, by doing more and more work with your light in the day to day.
Yeah.
That's the really cool part. You know, when you do, when something negative comes through, something even better that's positive comes through.
Yeah.
So
having curiosity in that direction.
Yeah. And, you know, and then getting to reutilize that tool, or now that energy is a part of your toolkit, or when we have a negative energetic, a negative entity experience, and then we call upon the light, imagine the magnitude of what comes in of the light. Like, that's the cool part. That's the part that will blow your mind. That's the part that will leave you breathless. That's the part that will leave you believing. That's the part that gives you the gas to say, woo, mama, I want more.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So that's the, and then, you know, and think about it. Like, if you're someone, you know, I know you do this work, and other people are listening who are, who may or may not do this work in the future, but think about how much light you're bringing into this world by doing that, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Really,
it can help the baby to sleep, I'll tell you.
Actually, will you share how you did that? You did that yourself, or you came up with that yourself. Go ahead.
Which part, where I held space for my husband and daughter at the same time.
Okay. Either.
Well, I had been calling on baby sleep specialists of the light. And sometimes it would work, and sometimes that's not what she needed. So she wouldn't fall asleep. She needed something else. She had gas, or sorry to say that on
sure.
here, or to
oh,
eat,
please.
Or whatever else. But my husband was trying to put our daughter to sleep, and it was really hard for me to sit back and listen to her cry.
Yeah.
But I knew that they needed to kind of get used to doing that with each other. I couldn't be the only person putting her to sleep. So I thought to myself, how can I support both of them from out here? And like he did it, you know, he rocked her, he helped, he did all of that. But from the outside, I laid down, and my physical body laid down, aligned with my light, expanded my light, raised my vibration, asked source to run energy for me, and then kind of gave all of that space to feel into it. And then I asked source to run energy for my husband, and I have never been able to really do that for him before. And I felt like a wave, a whoosh of his energy just kind of on me. And I knew it was okay because I was in my light. And I was like, I was wearing his energy. And then I was like, oh, that's amazing. You know, like if I wasn't before, I'm a believer now. And then I was like, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, get out of this. I gotta keep going. So then I did the same thing for my daughter, asked source to run energy for her, held space for her. And then I felt like, oh, it was amazing. Like a tinier little energy, but like still big and fierce, come in my heart space. And like I was wearing her too, and it sounds so bizarre, and it's never happened quite that way before when I've been holding space. That's like the one and only time it's happened that intensely and in that way. But then in that same space where she was at on my body, I just knew, like I got a knowing, an inner knowing and a feeling that she was asleep. And a moment later, you know, he came out and laid her down, and she was sleeping, and it was really, really cool. So yeah, you're totally right. Like why, I mean, it's cool to have curiosity about all things, but there's so much cool of the light to learn. And yeah.
Bingo.
Way better.
Yeah.
Way
yeah.
better angle.
And I love to, you know, it sounds, when you work with the light, the things that come through, it's like, you're just, it's like, nobody would believe this, you know? And I love how you described your experience, and but you can't reteach that type of experience because that's exactly what was needed in that moment, and it all came to you and it all felt really good. So
yeah.
That was your unique way of it coming through, and it worked, which was powerful. But nobody can teach that. How
yeah.
would somebody teach that, right?
And so to try it again wouldn't be what was needed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because life says, go to school, follow these rules, get a job, follow these rules, get a relationship that looks like this. And then all of a sudden you do energy work, and we all expect to learn something from point A to point Z perfectly.
Yeah.
Show me the ropes. And instead it's giddy up.
It's a wild web.
Yep. Get into your light and see what happens. So what has surprised you the most about holding space for your experience, for other people, for clients?
How simple it is, and how you don't have to try so hard. And that's been part of the struggle for me too, is, you know, I want to work really hard at something. I want to be really good and want to do it right. But with energy work, it doesn't quite work that way. It's like leaning back, relaxing back into your light, and trusting the whole process, but also just trusting in source, trusting in your light, trusting in your guides, and knowing that it is being taken care of, and that worrying about it is only setting you back. And that trying hard is only setting you back. We talked about this just last week. about how your light is like a spotlight shining down on you, or I guess source's light is like a spotlight shining down on you, and your light is kind of part of that. And by leaning forward and trying hard and just trying to make it happen faster and kind of trying to control, you're leaning out of that spotlight and therefore out of the light. But if you just lean back into what already is, trust that that light is there for you, that it's being shown upon you, you are much more effective. And
yeah.
It's been a really cool experience. What's that?
Oh, I said beautifully said. It's so funny because the art of holding energetic space or doing, you know, good energy work, not to label things, is really the art of how well are you caring for yourself and listening to yourself and trusting.
Yeah. And it's been really cool to have that perspective too, because it's not like, oh, I want to eat this food so my body looks a certain way. It's, oh, I need to eat this food because I know how it's going to feed my energy. I know how that's how my day is going to go. And in doing this work, you do become so much more sensitive to those little things, how certain foods, certain activities, certain things that you watch, certain places you go affect your energy. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's also, you know, it's a way to take care of yourself, but being sensitive can be something that other people don't quite understand.
Right, right. Especially if it's a mirror to them.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true.
That part's
can be uncomfortable for them.
Right. Is that part's always interesting. I'm excited for the direction our world is headed. I know that it's going to be a bit of a catastrophe for a while, but the catastrophe, you know, that's the negative energy that actually brings in so much more of the positive. And that's what we're all here to do. That's what we're doing. Here we go. We've got each other. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Thank you for doing the work that you do. How can people find you?
My website is lightatheart.co. Or you can email me at kate.lightatheartHealing@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll have that information in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here. I would love to have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to hit the follow and subscribe button. And as always, you can join other light-minded souls on Instagram. You can find me at emilymarie.energy or in the free Facebook group. The links are in the show notes. Bye. This podcast is intended to educate, inspire, and support you on your personal spiritual journey towards inner peace, inner calm, developing your intuition, and inner wisdom. I am not a psychologist, financial advisor, or a medical doctor, and do not offer any professional health, financial, or medical advice. If you are suffering from any psychological, financial, or medical conditions, please seek help from a qualified professional.